a post titled, please, okay, a post titled, Luo Yixiao, please don't go, has gone viral, as tens of thousands of users reposted her father's heart-wrenching missives. The father's journals, which contain a call for help in curing his daughter's leukemia, have already raised 2.7 million yuan, including 500,000 yuan of promised aid from a company to her father. So this is...First of all, huge internet use, and I think it's made waves in the traditional media realm as people have been talking about this. It's a little bit complicated. Could you please, Liu Yan, try to figure out what happened here for us first?
Okay, so this father's name is Luo Er. Apparently, he works for some kind of media company before it went bankrupt.This January. So anyway, he works in the media business, and apparently he's quite good at writing, so he did write this article about his daughter, and as you said, it's called Luo Yixiao, Please Don't Go. But the funny thing is, the original Chinese title is much more eye-catching. It's actually 你给我站住. So if you just look at that title, you might be thinking,He's talking about some bad guy, so you might want out, you might want to find out what exactly this bad person has done. And I suspect that a lot of people did click on that because of this. And when they found that it's actually an article about his daughter who, was in this traumatic experience and who might very well die if the money was not collected soon enough to pay for the procedures. Of course, people,were very pitiful, and they started donating. And it just went from there. The snowball kind of just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And when the situation got out of control, like, he literally received, like, tens of millions of yuan within just one day. And this whole situation took a different turn because some people then exposed that, oh, he was not...as poor as he claimed to be. He actually had three apartments, and also the daughter's situation was not as severe as he made it out to be. So there were all kinds of back and forth speculations and arguments. So he became like the center of everyone's attention, I guess.
Yeah, what's really interesting here is I think everything happens so fast on the internet today that in the morning it could be headline, and in the afternoon nobody could be not talking about it. And with this incident, it started in the morning as the biggest charity event online, it felt. And I did see a few of my friends reposting the original article. And because every time you repost the article, there's one company that's associated with the father apparently promised to donate 1 yuan. So it's just by retweeting, apparently you're doing good for this poor family, and people were participating. So that was what happened in the morning. And then it was just in the matter of having lunch, I guess, that short amount of time. In the afternoon, everybody just turned their backs to this incident and say,We have been used. We have been manipulated. They tricked us into this. Such horrible, horrible people. And so that just happened so quickly and then got people all confused with what went on there. And I think it's really interesting here is that also there's a latest development of this incident. That is, it's been officially announced 5:30 on December the 1st that all the money raised by this WeChat article will be returned to the
original people who
the original
paid for
accounts. Yes. So after this big brouhaha, it seems like we're back to the starting point. But can things be changed? I think so much has changed during the process of this. So, Bob, what do you feel about this? This incident itself, did it shock you a little bit?
Do you know, I think there is so much about this story that we don't know. That's the problem. For me, it shows the power of the internet, and it also shows the weakness of the internet. The fact that the power is that if you want to try and do some good, you can do a lot of good very, very quickly, because you can reach so many people, and if you're trying to raise money for a very good cause, then it's easily done. You can appeal to a wide variety of people, and people out there, there are enough people out there who are kind enough and want to give. The weakness is we don't know what's true and what's not on the internet. So if, for example, I'm not a great fan of reposting, actually. I tend not to do it. Even with a very close friend asks me, will you repost this? I don't do it, because unless I can go and, in face-to-face, in person, find out whether something is true or not, I have no idea. I just do not know. And I think that you mentioned that there was a company involved here which had offered to match money if people reposted, then they would maybe give some money to the charity. This, I think, was a marketing company, and that always sort of rings a few bells in my mind, thinking, I wonder if there is an element of something else going on here. I don't think so in this case. If I look at this, if you start looking at the details, you can see this little girl does have leukemia. So we know that, and that's not an issue. What happened is how was that then communicated to other people? Was it communicated well? And did people perhaps misunderstand, and then have rumours then built on the misunderstandings and taken it in a direction that certainly this father had no idea it was going to go this way?
That's interesting, because misunderstanding that's caused by the original article and how this thing brewed, you could call it a misunderstanding, or in a way, maybe it's kind of intentively orchestrated, as some people feel. Because as a media, I don't know how to call myself this, someone who works in the media.
You're a professional.
I am a professional? Okay, good. And when I first saw this title, I felt something smells fishy here. Just like Liu Yan said, this is not a heartbroken father in a sad situation and having this cry from the bottom of his heart. And it's not that. This whole thing just smells like it's a media professional that knows the psychology of people on WeChat and knows how to lure you into reading this and clicking this and later on reposting it. This whole thing, of course, because I work in the media, I understand some people who are not familiar maybe with some of these tactics might sort of fall into it easier, but this whole thing just doesn't sound that genuine for some people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this take on the issue?
I actually agree with that 100%, because, like I said, the first thing that caught my attention was exactly the title, Niyuo Zhanzhu. So I think it's a clickbait through and through. So unless you are very experienced, and unless you have worked with someone who is masterminding this whole thing, I don't think you will come up with this kind of title. So given the fact that his daughter is actually having leukemia and he supposedly should be very, very sad, yet he still has the time to manage, to work this to the maximum effect, that's why I think a lot of people think it's fishy and they get angry when they find that the company behind this is indeed Xiaotongren, a marketing company, and on top of that, the company is owned by a friend of Mr. Laws. So this just smells like personal favor.
No, I'm going to be a devil's advocate here. But I think I'm skeptical too, so don't get me wrong on that. But if I was a media professional and I had a daughter who was very, very ill, I would use all the skills and talents that I've got in order to try to raise some money. So there is always that possibility that here is somebody who started off by thinking, I need to do something. I need to... He didn't know it was going to snowball into so many people deciding to give some money. He didn't know that there was going to be this storm of controversy. Maybe he would have only got a few thousand yuan or something out of this whole exercise at the beginning, and we wouldn't be talking about it now. It just wouldn't happen. But it snowballed. It became something bigger. There are plenty of pictures online of this father looking very, very humiliated and apologizing. Maybe that's the case. So I'm going to continue to be the devil's advocate here and put the other side.
Oh, well, please stay in that seat as... We do like devil's advocates on the show, as I think it does broaden the discussion in so many ways. Yes, I think you make a very good point, Bob, but that's also the part when some people get, again, a little bit emotional and defensive as well. That is, I think there is this underlying sentiment in Chinese people's minds. That is, when it comes to asking for money, asking for help, and it could be what I'm doing right now, Liu Yan, I have my palm out, give me some money right now, or I'm begging, but I do it in a subtle way. That is, like on WeChat with this post, there is a function that has a big shang award
for tipping.
Yeah, for tipping. It's like an icon that anybody who reads this post and can donate, I think it's a matter of a couple of yuan to maybe 100 yuan, and there is a threshold of 50,000 yuan every day, but with this unprecedented event, apparently that threshold was broken because too many people donated at one go. So there are different ways of asking for money, but the underlying sentiment is that you must be in a super dire and poor situation. Can you ask for money? If it is a man like Mr. Luo, that was revealed later that he has 3 apartments under his name, although 2 apartments were later found out that is still being paid off through mortgage. So it's not someone that doesn't even have a roof over his head, and he's asking for money. Is that acceptable?
Well, I can certainly understand why so many people think that's not acceptable. Because, sure, he has 3 apartments and he is living in one, so in theory there's only 2 that he can try to sell and then get some money. Even though he has come out and said and explained that these 2 are still in the process of being bought completely, so he doesn't own them already, and therefore he cannot sell them to get any money. Still, the very fact that you actually had enough money to consider buying 2 more apartments to begin with, that says a lot about your financial situations. Because if you're extremely poor, or if you're extremely cash-strapped, there's no way you would start something like that.
So is it like middle-class people have no standing to ask for some charity money?
That's a tricky one, because that was going through my mind when you were talking, and I think this is where I'm really radical. Again, this goes back to, I guess, my background of both my parents being doctors. Curiously, they were doctors right at the start of the British National Health Service. So they were just on the change. Before that, it was a private health system. After that, everything is paid for. And so that's what I grew up with. So part of me thinks that regardless of who you are, regardless of how much money you earn, everybody should be able to get the same kind of treatment. Now, I know that's a fantasy, because treatment is as much a treatment as people want. It's endless. We could all have treatment for everything, and there just isn't enough money in the world to pay for that. So there are limits. We know that. I don't have a problem with this person having apartments or money or whatever. Again, you know, perhaps it was the case he didn't expect to earn so much money. Maybe he needed money right there and then. If you are suddenly faced with a huge health bill which has to be paid there and then, what do you do? It may be that he couldn't liquidate his assets quick enough in order to pay these bills. So there may be other things going on here. I don't know.
Actually, I think, Heyang, you asked a very good question. Can you ask for charity or donation just because you're not that poor? I think the answer, of course, is yes, you can do that. Everybody can do that. However, you can also not deny the fact that once you do that, you're going to have to face the music. So I think that's exactly his situation here. He probably just didn't anticipate all of this coming. So he just thought, right now I need some money, so I'm going to ask for money. And in order to get more money, I'm going to use some tactics. That's all fine. But when the consequence came, he didn't want to face that. But I'm sorry, buddy, that's just not going to happen because you're living in the real world. Sure, people can hustle very quickly and you can get extremely big amount of money very quickly. But at the same time, you're also going to have to answer for that.
Yeah, and I feel this. First of all, I'd like to say I do sympathize with this poor father. I mean, having a daughter that's got this sometimes lethal disease and it needs constant funding to pay the medical bill as it's a long-term treatment. Yes, I feel for the family. But it just sounds like a man that didn't really know what he was getting himself into and his family into, as now so many of the private information of the family has been just spilled all over the internet as people say, we need answers.
And we know also that the internet can be an incredibly angry, venomous place.
That's the interesting thing. Yeah. It felt like it was the most loving place in the morning and the most vicious, malicious, and evil place in the afternoon. It turned so very quickly. And what's also interesting, I suppose, is that when these people on the internet community suddenly is in action as one, it felt that people who donated money or not all felt that they had a unanimous voice, that they can say something about this, and that is bashing this father. Despite the fact there were still other small voices, but because of the majority voice is so loud, the small voices are not often heard. That is, there are still some people saying, cut this dude some slack. His daughter is ill. I donated. And for whatever reason, I want this family, you know, they can use it. And I'm not regretting that. You still see these posts, but that just feels like one drop of water in the bucket.
That's true. But on the other hand, I have to say this sentiment is completely justified.
You think it's justified?
I think it's justified because on the one hand, I think it's a very good thing that, you know, you can still find the goodness in people. But on the other hand, nobody likes to be taken advantage of. You know, it's already requiring people to do something nice purely out of, you know, their goodwill. And once in this day and age, people are actually willing to do that and they find that they are just taken. You know, they are being fools. Of course, they're going to be extra angry. Angrier than when they didn't do anything about it. So I think this is certainly understandable.
But as I understand it, some of that negative feeling which came later in the day, some of that was built on things which weren't true. Because again, one of the problems with the internet is it's very easy for somebody to drop into a conversation like this. Well, did you know that he's got a million yuan under the bed, and so he doesn't need any of this money? You know, nobody should be actually giving him any money. There's no, again, it's like the initial appeal. We can't check it. We haven't checked it. The people who gave money didn't check it, didn't check what the true story was. We may not even know what the true story is. And likewise, in the afternoon, some of the negative things which were said about this father and the family may also not be true. I think that's what frightens me. That really does frighten me about the internet, is how much it's a truth deficit, I think, that we just do not know. It's all presented to us, but maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Not just in this case, but just more broadly.
Yes, I do share that feeling too, Bob, and that's exactly why I didn't repost the original article when I first saw it. I thought I need to wait a little bit to see what's going on here. But that's also the fear for anybody who wants to act rationally, I feel. That is, even in a news story, Bob, you must know this inside out. That is, even in writing a news story, when emotion is supposed to be cut out from it And it should be always objective, only the facts. But even a news story cannot provide us with the truth all the time. And now, okay, Bob, I know you have something to say about this, all the time, all right?
All the time.
But here with this kind of, articles, as we see it on the internet every day, there's bound to be a lot of misunderstandings, things are being concealed, and, yes, I'm very confused and puzzled and hopeless right now that I feel there's nothing you can trust.
I would say very quickly that I think that the conventional media can legitimize a story like this by going to find out and then talking to the real people and looking into this story and then presenting it on conventional media. Then people can give because the whole story has been proved.
Oh, that is the right answer. And to find these very trustworthy media outlets and platforms, you listen to Bob Jones on the Beijing Hour. That is also a program that is produced by CRI, China Radio International. So do catch Bob on the radio waves. When does Beijing Hour come out every day, Bob?
Oh, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
All right.
Two opportunities.
Great. And I'm sure you have done a report on this already. And my last question for you guys is that, doesn't this sound like the boy cries wolf? What will happen next time when a charity, someone is in need, is crying for help? Would people want to donate? To find out more on that, we'll come back after this very short break.